All right, so last week we had a discussion about what was going on in time frames and stuff like that. So what I did, just to make it clear for everybody and even for myself, I created a Excel kind of spreadsheet just to put all those timelines together so we could understand what was happening when, and so we could just see it and it can be clear for everybody. That's my... Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you to acknowledge you on another training service for all that you are and for all that you've given us. And we just thank you for the understanding that you continue to give this ministry and the vision that you continue to give Pastor so that we can go forward in that understanding and perform the task that you called us to. We just acknowledge you in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. I guess we can go over these scriptures one more time, but then we can discuss them, and then we can see why I put what where. So first, we'll start with Mark 25. Actually, we'll start at the end. So, this is at the very end. So, this is after Christ is resurrected, and this is Sunday. And the reason why we look at the scripture to know why it's Sunday. Alright, so, let's start at Matthew 28. And verse 1. Matthew 28, verse 1 says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, right? So, this is the time frame, and actually I'm going to split these up. So, it says, so the time frame is the end of the Sabbath. So, when we look at the calendar, let me figure this for the sake of looking. So let me explain what all this is first. So if you see here, this line item here, line number 2, this is the day according to the Hebrew calendar. Okay? This line item is the day according to our calendar. So if you look, let's say for Wednesday, for example, according to our calendar, the day starts at 12 a.m. And so we have all these time frames, 12, 3, 6, all the way until 12 a.m. again. So from our calendar perspective, Wednesday would start at 12 a.m. and it would end at 11:59 the next day. Now on the Hebrew calendar, which is this particular row, the second row.
So say it for the sake of our understanding, because we know who we are. So instead of saying our calendar,
Okay.
So just do it from that perspective, just to make sure, because we know that we are Israel. So it's our Hebrew calendar.
Today's calendar. Okay.
Yeah. What is the Roman Greco calendar or something like that?
We'll use those terminology. So the Greco-Roman calendar, which, you know, America uses, the day starts at 12 a.m. and it ends at, 11:59 p.m. Now, the Hebrew calendar, according to how that is set up, the day starts at 6 p.m. We'll use 6 p.m. for the sake of the conversation, but it's really based on the sun going down in a nutshell, not really based on the time, because, you know, we use 6 p.m. just as a gauge, but, you know, we change times around, you know. 6 p.m. may be dark, 6 p.m. may be light, you know, depending on the kind of year. So essentially it is based on the sun, but we'll just use 6 p.m. for the sake of understanding. So the Hebrew calendar starts at 6 p.m. and goes all the way until 5:59, let's say, the next day. So when we look at that verse, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, and it says, gives the time frame of the end of the Sabbath, right? So it's the end of the Sabbath, and the beginning of dawn towards the first day of the week. Now, so Sabbath has already ended, and it begins to dawn towards the first day of the week. Now, the impression would be that that would be at this 6 p.m. right here, right? But when we look at one of these other verses, you know that it's not at this 6 p.m. Because if we looked at strictly the end of the Sabbath, then, let me make this bigger, based on what we have up here, then our Saturday, or the Greco-Roman Saturday, is what we call the Sabbath, basically, in a nutshell. So it's saying at the end of the Sabbath is one word, right? So that would make you think, okay, that's probably 6 p.m. But if you look at the rest of the verses, and I think even that particular verse, it said at the beginning of the dawn for the first day, right? So dawn has a connotation, typically that means the sun rising, but we'll even look at the scripture and it'll get a little bit more specific. So that was Matthew 28. We want to look at also at Luke 23:46-41. So we go to Luke 23 and verse 44. It says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over. I think I got the wrong scripture. I'm going to have to look it up.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Are you trying, which one you referencing to?
It was the one where Mary and Martha.
Oh, when they went to the
seven? Yeah. I think it may have been Luke 27. Go ahead and go to Mark 16.
It's when they went to the scepter, right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, let me find it for you while you're doing it.
So while he's looking for that, I'll go to Mark chapter 16, verse 1. So, and this is actually what Taylor, what I was going to say. So, Mark chapter 16, verse 1 says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And it says, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, right? So, that particular statement at the rising of the sun gives you an indication that even though the other verse said it was the end of the Sabbath and the dawning of a new day, that dawning actually means when the sun is coming up, not just the beginning of the day. Because based on what we understand, the day from the Hebrew calendar is evening and then the morning is the day. And so the fact that it said at the dawning of the day, and also at this point it says at the rising of the sun, means that this wasn't 6 p.m., this was 6 a.m., which is actually towards the end of the day from that perspective. So
in other words, there is a, what we should understand is that there are, like the same way it is as far as the Roman Greco calendar, there is a, there are the same hours in the same day, it's just different time frame.
Right.
And so from it being dawning of the day, it letting us know that it may be six, but since it's talking about the dawning of the day, then we're going to understand that that six during the daytime of that particular day,
correct,
which is the first day or Sunday.
True. So because when I originally thought, when I saw the dawning of the day, I just thought that meant the beginning of the day,
right?
So from the Greco-Roman perspective, dawning of the day is at the beginning of the day. Well, from the Hebrew perspective, the dawning of the day is technically not the beginning of the day.
It's starting the end.
It's after, you know, the night has already, evening has already passed. Now it's on over to the morning, where, you know, half the day is already gone by the dawning of the day.
It's like it's the second, 12 hour of that day.
Right.
So as he mentioned, I think earlier that you said something about the end of the Sabbath or something like that.
Like a PM hour? I mean, the PM
hour? Okay, just like it's different as far as the Roman Greco calendar. We have 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's the first 12 hours of that day.
Okay.
Then we have 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. That's the second half of that day.
Okay.
Well, it's the opposite. What the other saying is the opposite. When the dawning of the day is, it is daylight, but the scripture says the evening and the morning is the first day. So it's the opposite. So when it says it's the dawning of the day, it's letting you know that, yeah, it's morning time, but it's toward the end of the Hebrew day.
Right. It's the equivalent of evening time for us.
Right.
So by the time the evening is here, you know, the day is
there. Roman Greco gets
right,
the end of that. It's the evening. It's the ending of the ending of the Roman Greco day, as far as the Hebrew is concerned. But it's the beginning of the day as far as the Hebrew is concerned.
So
it's the opposite. Everything is the opposite. You have to understand how the enemy works. The enemy wants to rebel against Yah, so everything is opposite. So as you hear the elder talk about these things, and he's telling you, you understand that it's the opposite from what we commonly understand as far as the day is concerned. So when it says dawn to us, Roman Greco, we think that's 12 a.m. because it's a new day, so it's dawning up on that day. But when it's the Hebrew, we know that it's actual morning, but it's not the dawning of a day to us per se as far as the daytime is concerned. The daytime frame is concerned. It's
ending. So it is dawn. Dawn means the sun is rising.
Right. Yes.
But it will be the equivalent of what we feel like is dusk in the nutshell. It's not dusk. The dusk means the sun is setting. So dawn does mean sun rising. But from the Hebrew calendar,
it's
the sun rises
to the
end
of the
day.
Day.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the beginning
so you hear when you hear the. The Hebrew said dawn, we know that's the end of that day. Although it's morning, we still know that. Our mind said that's the end of the day. When we hear it in the evening, then our mind know that's the dawn of the Hebrew day.
Right.
Not as in daylight, as it's coming up on another day. So there's a difference in the meaning of the word dawn based upon the time frame that we're looking at. And we have to understand the concept because that's how we know the truth. That's how truth is revealed. We have to understand these concepts. That's what we spend so much time on.
Okay, so understanding that concept, we understand that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, they showed up Sunday, Greco calendar. Yeah, they showed up at 6 a.m. So Greco calendar morning.
That's our time.
Hebrew second half of day. It's morning both times.
Uh-huh.
But for the Greco-Roman calendar, that morning is the beginning of the day. For the Hebrew calendar, that morning is the end of the day. So both of them are still morning. Morning is in reference to the sun rising. Dawn is in reference to the sun rising. But the time of day that refers to is different on each calendar, right? So, and actually, let me make it bigger so you can see what I mean. So, if you look at this, just to get an example, I got to make this a little smaller to show what I want to show. So if you look, just to even explain what we're talking about. So this is a Hebrew calendar Sunday, or the first day of the week. This is the Greco-Roman calendar Sunday, or the first day of the week. Now, as you see at this 6 a.m. right here, for the Hebrew calendar, that's at the half day. Half of the day is gone. But for the Greco-Roman calendar, at this 6 a.m., the day is just starting. So that's what I'm trying to explain. So when it says dawn, or the beginning of the what did it say in that previous verse? I think it was the scripture. This was Matthew 28. So in Matthew 28, it said. It said the end of the Sabbath and as it begins to dawn, right? So understand when it says, so the end of the Sabbath gives you a time frame to know that it is after this time period. But then the second bit of information to give you the time frame was when it said as it begins to dawn. So that's telling you that 6 a.m., right? So we know this is a time frame that they showed up to the grave and they found that he wasn't there. Actually, I can. Not the other one you was looking at. Is that Luke 24:1? Yeah, I think that is, bro. So Luke 24:1 says, "Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning." So it gives me again that same indication that morning refers to the day. Not necessarily, it refers to daylight, not necessarily the beginning of the Hebrew calendar day. So when it says very, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered and found not the body of the Lord Yehoshua.
Before you move on, I want to say something in reference to why this is so important, because the enemy is cunning in that he want to confuse us on the time frame to neglect the Sabbath and accept Sunday as the Sabbath. So these things are put in place to deceive us, and again, I can't say it enough, that's why we're spending so much time making the effort so that you can understand how the actual days work from Yah's perspective, because they want to confuse us to submit as a nation of people to a day that is the opposite of what Yah said. Yah said the Sabbath is a day of rest. Everything that you know, important events has happened on the Sabbath. But they want us to think that it's Sunday, because that's part of the deception that's designed to keep us from falling within the laws of our God. And so that's why we're spending so much time, you know, to bring about that understanding. So I just wanted to reiterate on that.
Okay. Now, we dealt with go ahead and take a look at Mark 16. So this is the understanding we came to based on what what Pastor dealt with when we first started dealing with the subject. So we'll go to this part. Now, and it says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him, right? So, based on that, what is it? It was the third hour of the day, and it's it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the description, well, we can just stop there. So the third hour, this third hour is referring to the day, not the night, because they didn't crucify him at nighttime. Other scriptures attest to that, right? So the third hour of the day, and based on our calendar, the day we'll talk about, what we just dealt with on that subject matter, the dawn, or the beginning of the day, is at 6 a.m., right? Remember, we dealt with that for Mary and the other Mary, that they came to the grave, it was 6 a.m., right? So if the day starts at 6 a.m., then the third hour of the day would be 9 a.m., which is the understanding that we came for. That's the time when they crucified him. So let's widen this out a little. Make
sure
I didn't put that in
there. And crucified means hang on the cross.
Right. It doesn't mean he died.
Right.
It just means, so it's like, that's like saying, I use an example just for the sake of understanding. If somebody had an accident and then they died, well, the accident doesn't necessarily mean that they died right when they had the accident. They could have been in the hospital for 3 hours and then they died. You see what I'm saying? So you can't just say, well, at the accident they died. That's not necessarily the case. So in this case, when he was crucified, we know that he didn't die yet. He was just hung on the cross the third hour of the day, which is 9 a.m. Okay? And let's go ahead and go to Matthew 27:45. So we can get all these timelines together. Matthew 27. Now, it says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour, right? And so, like what Pastor was saying earlier, if this was referring to nighttime, it wouldn't have been a big deal for them to say it was darkness from 6 until 9, right? Because it's already dark. But the reason why that was significant was because it is this daytime right here. So from the 6th hour, if the day starts at 6 a.m., then the 6th hour is 12 noon. So at 12 noon is when the darkness started. So from 12 noon until the ninth hour, so 9 on top of the 6 would be until 3 p.m. So Christ was crucified at 9 a.m. Then from 12 p.m. until 3 p.m., it was darkness. And it was this darkness that caused them to be afraid and say some other things. So does all that make sense? Those timelines make sense? So if we're looking at it from the Hebrew perspective, these things were happening at the end of the day. So when he was crucified, it was 9 a.m., it was at the end of the day. When it was dark, it was towards the end of the Hebrew day, the middle of the Greco-Roman day. When he died, and we can look at this scripture, it was towards the end of the day on Wednesday. So if we look at Luke 23, verse 46, I think that's what I used on the other one. It was wrong scripture. But Luke 23, verse 46. All right. And when Yeshua had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, it was started at verse 45, actually. Oh, actually, I said 44. And it said it was about the sixth hour when there was darkness all over the earth, so that's what we just looked at until the ninth hour. Now, after that happened, 45, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now, so this next verse, verse 6, is after that period. And when Yeshua had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So, if he was crucified at 9 a.m., it was dark from 12 to 3, and then after this period, Christ gave up the ghost, that means around 3 p.m. is when he actually died, right? So, if that's when he actually died, then according to what he had taught when he was still alive, in 3 days, he would rebuild the temple. So we start from here and count 3 days. So we'll say Wednesday at 3 p.m. is the start. So Thursday at 3 p.m., that will be 1 day. Friday at 3 p.m. would be 2 days. And then Saturday at 3 p.m. would be the third day, right? Did everybody see that? Do I need to go back? Okay, I'll go back. So if this is the day he actually died, Wednesday at 3 p.m., 24 hours later would be Thursday at 3 p.m., right? That's day one. All right, 24 more hours later, Friday at 3 p.m. would be day two. And then 24 more hours, it would be Saturday at 3 p.m. That would be 3 days. Got it, okay. So that means that for him to be resurrected in 3 hours, so based on the scripture, it leaves this whole window, but based on us knowing, okay, it was Wednesday at 3 p.m. when he died, then that means somewhere more likely in this window is when he resurrected. Because it had to be after this 3 p.m. And if it was on the Sabbath, then it would have to have been in this window right here that he was resurrected. Because by this time over here, he was already gone. The stone was already rolled away. And if we look at scripture, so this is the other scripture you want to look at. So, just to get our time frame together. So, let's take a look at Mark chapter 15, verse 42. So he was on the cross at this time frame. He died on 3 p.m. on Wednesday. Now, Mark chapter 15, in verse 42 is when we start dealing with Joseph. All right. And getting a time frame to understand when these things happen. So, Mark chapter 15, verse 42, it says, and now when the evening was come, so this tells us, okay, that it has to be one of these time frames. So if we look at this and we understand that Christ died, when the evening had come, this could be this 6 p.m. on Wednesday, right? It could be this. It also could be this 6 p.m. as well, because the evening has come. The scripture says, and when the evening was come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So that gives us a clue on which actual evening it was. So according to this, so remember I said when it said Christ was on the cross and he died, it said the evening was come, right? So if it was this 6 p.m., it couldn't be that because this is not the preparation day, right? The Sabbath is not coming. But when we look at this evening, 6 p.m., so if we look up here, we know that the preparation day is the day before the Sabbath. So Friday on the Hebrew calendar is the preparation day. So that will be from 6 p.m. the Greco-Roman Thursday until 6 p.m. the Greco-Roman Friday. So preparation day starts on that day. And if we see up here, the Sabbath day immediately follows the preparation day. So that's where those breakdowns are. Now, to understand that the preparation day is immediately following, immediately preceding the Sabbath day is the same scripture. So it says, and when the evening was come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So this verse tells us that the preparation day is the day right before the Sabbath. So if the Sabbath is a Saturday, the Greco-Roman Saturday, and it starts at this time frame, then that tells us that the preparation day, if it's the day before the Sabbath, then that means it has to be Friday. So in order for it to be the evening, in order for it to be the evening and the preparation day, that means that Joseph has to take his body down the equivalent of Thursday around 6 p.m. So that's the time frame from Christ coming off the cross that we start dealing with the next scripture. So 6:42. That is the day before the Sabbath. So all these things happen in this time frame. So we know this is the start. And so we know that he's taken off the cross, he's wrapped and buried. After this 6 p.m. On the beginning of the preparation day, which is still Thursday on the Greco-Roman calendar, but Friday on the Hebrew calendar. So he was taken down then. We'll look at Luke 23, verse 52 to 54. So if we go to Luke 23 and 52 to 54. This man is referring to Saint Joseph, but we'll start at 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of Yah. Verse 52, this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Yehoshua. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein no man before was laid. And that day was the preparation day. So again, Luke 23 also confirms that these things happened on the preparation day. So he took him down, he wrapped him in linen, he put him in the sepulchre. All that happened on the preparation day. And it says, and the Sabbath drew on. So if we know on this one, it says it was the beginning of the evening when he took him down. So that gives an indication that this process took basically all this time, because when they got done, it was saying it's almost basically Sabbath. So Sabbath is starting right here. So if he took him down here, all this time it took him for him to wrap him and put him into the sepulchre. Yeah. So that is this time frame here that's highlighted. So from around here until here, we know is when all these things were taking place. Now, if we look at, we'll just start staying in Luke since we're already in Luke. Luke 23 and verse 49, is that right? I don't think that scripture is right. I think it's 55. Yeah. So again, 54 says, and that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. So Sabbath drew on, meaning it was getting close to this time frame right here when it's the cutover. So this is the preparation day. This is the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath drew on means it's around this time. So between 3 and 6 p.m. is when this was happening. And it says, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment, right? So they're saying, hey, we're not going to work on the Sabbath. So if the Sabbath starts here, they're saying we're not going to work any on the Sabbath in order to maintain the Sabbath. So they had to see the body and see it in the sepulchre all during this time frame, because at this time the Sabbath was started and they weren't going to work or do anything on the Sabbath. So that means somewhere around from the hours of 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday is where they were looking at the body and saw it in its place, right? So that was Luke 23:49. So we'll look at Mark.
Okay, so during that time,
mm-hmm.
3 p.m., 6 p.m.,
mm-hmm. Christ is already sometime before 6 p.m. on Friday. So during that time frame, they took his body out there. So during that time frame, Joseph went to Pilate to ask for the body.
Okay.
They took the body off the cross. They wrapped him, and they put him in the tomb. All that happened during this time frame. And so we know that it's during that time frame because we see in this verse. So we know it's during that time frame because, one, we know the start of it here based on what we just dealt with before, and we know the end of it here based on these scriptures. So we looked at the first one, Luke 23, which is actually 23:55. So let's look at Mark 15:47. Mark 15. 47. And so if you recall in the previous scripture, and it said, and the women that were with him, it didn't even say who they were. It just said the women that were with him. Well, in Mark 15:47, it says, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And I believe this Mary, the mother of Joseph, is Jesus' mother, because Joseph was Jesus' brother. In the other scripture, it says mother of James, but both of those are Jesus' brothers, right? So this is Mary Magdalene, and this is Jesus' mother, beheld where he was laid. And so this is that same time frame. So I use this scripture just to tell you who it was. Because in the other scripture, it just said the women that were with him. It didn't say who it was. This scripture tells you who was there. Okay, so we know this. We know this time frame based on those scriptures. Now, all of these things are going on. Now let's look at Matthew 27:62. So based on what we dealt with before, we know, okay, he died at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. One day was 3 p.m. on Thursday, right?
So make it clear that now you're only referring to the Hebrew calendar, our calendar. So when you're hearing him say that, he's letting you know from the Hebrew calendar when these events are taking place.
Well, I just said 3 p.m. just not to throw it off either way, because 3 p.m. is still 3 p.m. either way, right?
Right.
So,
the calendar day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, from 3 p.m. on Wednesday, which was the end of the Hebrew day, to 3 p.m. on Thursday, that's one day, to 3 p.m. on Friday, this is 2 days. So all these things are still happening during the first and second day. It's not even the third day yet now. So we know that they finished everything on the second day, basically. They didn't touch him on the third day because it was the Sabbath, right? So that's what the scripture says. They didn't deal with him any on the third day. So we see they stopped, according to the scripture, at the end of the preparation day. They didn't touch him, and we know that they came back over here at the beginning of the dawn of the day on Sunday. So we see that's the other reference on the other side. Now, the last bit of information we have is Matthew 27 and 62. So if we go there, Matthew 27 and 62, and it says, and actually we'll start at 61. We'll start at 59. And it says, and when Joseph had taken the body, that's giving you the same time reference. So when Joseph had taken the body, that's over here. That's over here. When Joseph had taken the body, that's what that's. So we're seeing this is 6 p.m. on Thursday, which 6 p.m. Thursday on the Greco-Roman calendar, 6 p.m. The beginning of the day on Friday on the Hebrew calendar. All right. So when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth, right? So that's talking about this time frame. And laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of stone, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. So departed gives you the indication that this is around this time, because we dealt with the time frame, right? So we know that they were all there until just at the end, at the beginning of the Sabbath, right? So when he departed, that tells you that, okay, this is talking about this time frame right here is when he departed, okay? And departed. Verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. This time frame right here. Now, the next day, so the next day means this is over here. So, according to the Hebrew calendar, this is Friday. All that stops here. The next day starts right here. Does that make sense? So they were here right at the end of the day. And when it says the next day, that next day starts at 6 p.m., right? So, you know, it could have been a few minutes later, but it was the next day. So when it says in the next day, the day that followed the preparation. So, again, it gives us the same frame of reference. We know that this time frame is the preparation day. So if it's the next day that followed the preparation day, that tells us this is on the Sabbath that this happened. So, again, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will arise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. 65, and Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way and make it sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing a stone and setting the watch. So that is during this time frame. So at the beginning of the day on Sabbath, they went to Pilate and said, hey, Pilate, it's coming up on these 3 days, and we know, hey, the deceiver said he was going to come back after 3 days. And so at this time frame, they're basically saying, let us have a watch so that they can't just come take this body, which means, okay, it had to be the time frame after he was already buried. It couldn't have been no other time, so we know based on putting it together, he got buried completed at least by this time frame. And so they came during this time frame and said, okay, we need to make sure that don't nobody come take this body in a nutshell. And so we know, okay, this is the time frame that happened. So we know, hey, this is when they came back and the stone was gone, so that's why I say it's this window during which Yehoshua was resurrected. But in order for it to be 3 days, it had to be during this window that he resurrected. Does that make sense? And so, based on all these things, I just put this thing together so we can get all those times and dates together to understand, you know, when all these things were happening. So, it's actually during this window. That Christ is resurrected. In order to line up with what he said he was gonna do in 3 days, I'm gonna raise up this body. So
the reason why he's saying he had to resurrect during that time frame is because once that Saturday got to 6 p.m. it's Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the first day.
Right.
You know, I'm saying Sunday, but it's still Saturday. But it's the dawn of the dawn of the first day from a perspective of the Hebrew understanding, not the actual light. And so when you see it in 6 p.m. Saturday, that's another day. That's going over into Sunday. Saturday evening and Sunday evening is that day or the first day. And so from a perspective of understanding the scripture doesn't call days like we do. They don't say, you know, Yah didn't say, well, it's Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. That's what part of the confusion is. What Yah said was first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and seventh day. So what we classify as Saturday is really the beginning of the first day. So Saturday and Sunday is Monday. Monday and Tuesday. I mean, Saturday and Sunday is Monday. Sunday and Monday is 2 days. Monday, Tuesday is 3 days. Tuesday, Wednesday is 4 days. And so on and so forth. So that's how you look at it. So you count numbers instead of days. The days is what, I mean, instead of actual names, that's what brings about the confusion. What he's doing is just breaking it down to show you based upon time frame determines the days instead of based upon what the Roman record calendar says as Sunday as being a new day or the first day or as they say the Sabbath. No. You have to go by God's design on how he created Yah's verbiage on how he designed everything. The evening and the morning is the first day. And so you count by numbers instead of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Alright, so we know during this window is when Christ resurrected. So by the time it wasn't early Sunday morning. It was right during this window. So by the time they had got there on early Sunday morning, he was already gone for a while. It's been a while. All right.
Just kind of deal with it. By 6 p.m. Sunday night, he was out of there. Because that was, the 6 p.m. Sunday night was started into Sunday. He was already gone. That was the last third night. That window between that time frame of Friday 6 p.m. Friday 6 p.m. to that Saturday 6 p.m.
For the seventh?
Yeah. So that Friday, when you go back to that Friday, that Friday 6 p.m.
Right.
Yeah, that was the last night of the Sabbath. That was the last night of the Sabbath.
What do you mean of the
Sabbath?
Friday.
Before the Sabbath?
No, Friday 6 p.m. Friday 6 p.m. is the last actual night of the Sabbath. See, because you have the following Sabbath day ends on 6 p.m. Saturday.
There's no Saturday night Sabbath.
So that's the third night of the Sabbath. You're saying this time period right here was the night of the Sabbath.
Right.
And so from the night of the Sabbath or from 6 p.m.
like if you have someone to hear, from 6 p.m. From 6 p.m. That time frame, to, from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday, he resurrected in that time frame.
Right.
And they come on the dawn of the following day, like we're saying here, the dawn after daylight.
Like when you have it,
is when they came. But he had already risen from that 6 p.m. night to 6 p.m. Saturday. He risen in that night. Or that time frame.
So it had to be at least after here, because when we look, if he died here at 3 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
this is when he died.
Mm-hmm.
The first day, 24 hours, is here.
So the first night is here.
Right. So I'm saying the first 24 hours.
Right. The first 24 hours is exactly like you're saying.
Right here.
Uh-huh.
But the first night is this time frame, but the first 24 hours is here.
Yeah.
The second 24 hours is here.
Which means the other night is the 6 p.m.
And the third 24 hours will be here.
Yeah.
So if he died at 3 p.m., that's why I'm saying it's this window between here. This is the third day would be right at this, in this window. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And so what I'm saying from that perspective, though, is when you look at the third day is not necessarily saying that he died at a specific time on the day. It says he would be, what was it, Matthew 12:4, to say he would be in the earth 3 days and three nights.
Right. Which would be this. So if we go based on that, okay, if he died here, this is one night.
Mm-hmm.
This time period here, that's one night.
One night.
And this is one day.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is two nights.
Uh-huh.
And this is 2 days.
Uh-huh.
Cool. This is two nights, 2 days. This is three nights.
Uh-huh.
And this is 3 days. So that's why I say this time frame is around when he resurrected.
So, and that's what I'm saying. From 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. From 3 p.m., like you said, from the day that you said, from the time that
mm-hmm.
you got. You got 3 nights and 3 days. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to show you the actual night, so that's why I was saying that Friday night is the third night. Because the nights are before the day, according to Scripture.
Right, this Friday night. So this Friday here is the third night, correct?
Right.
Correct.
So, one thing me and Virgie had a discussion about, because he was saying, Tiny, it doesn't, like you just said, it doesn't say specific dates in the Bible like Monday, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But because if you're reading the Word and it says from like dawn and dusk.
The key is when it says the first day. That's what tells you, that's what gives you an indication of what day. So, when we looked at the very first scripture we looked at, we looked at Matthew 28. That's what we use to get our time reference, because it said on the first day of the week. So the first day of the week is Sunday. So that's where we make the connection that it don't say Sunday. It don't
right.
say none of those days.
Right.
Because the truth is, you know, those days were created. Before they created the Greco-Roman calendar, they call whatever the first day of the week was something else. You know what I mean? So if they were to give it a name, that would lose its sense over the course of time.
And I just want to read it. Just as 1:5 says, and Yah called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. He created light day and darkness night on Sunday. On Sunday or Saturday night going to Sunday, the first day. So when you read the first day, like the way it's being described in Luke 24, then to understand how Yah operates things, to make this though in the Greco calendar day, when you start at verse 5, read Genesis chapter 1, you know that's starting out at Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So when you get to Genesis chapter 2, and he say he rested on the seventh day, that's Saturday. And let you know he resting on the Sabbath. That's why when he keeps the same concept throughout Scripture. And that's why, as Elder is saying, as soon as you get to Luke 24, and you're saying, on the first day, you stay within the laws of Yah, and you understand, forget what they're talking about. It is the evening and the morning being the first day, and since the dawn on that day, it is daylight, Sunday morning, first thing Sunday morning, just like Yah said.
All right.
That's how you look at it. Don't let them confuse you by making you be bound to the Greco laws and the heathenistic laws of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. No, you go by days as in numbers. One being the first day through seven. The seven is always the day of rest. That's why you look on any calendar, you open up your phone and look at your calendar. It got Saturday on the end of the week, because they know it's the Sabbath. It's just they don't want you to accept it that it's the Sabbath. So they'll put it up in your face and then play with you and say, no, Sunday is the day of rest. But why is it before Monday? And on the calendar, because they know it's the first day. That's why they do it that way. They try to deceive us, and so we just spending time to go over with it with you, show it to you, and to break down the time frame to show you how God did it, instead of how man is
perverted
to try to keep up
with you. And it do take a lot of studying, because if you don't, it's confusing. I mean, especially with the multiple scriptures, and even when it gives you a clue in each different scripture, and you have to put all those things together to get the big picture of when all of these things happen.
Right.
So I just wanted to put this together, and if y'all want a copy of this, you can have it. But I just wanted to put it together so we can see visually what was going on, and the confusion of, you know, the Hebrew calendar versus the Greco-Roman calendar, we can do away with that.
Right. And that's the reason why Yah gave us the Gospels the way that he did, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he gave a little bit of information to be revealed by each one of them so that we all could study and come to the truth by looking at all of them. You can't see the whole truth of what Yah is saying by looking at all of them, without looking at all of the Gospels.
Right.
And I'll give you one case, and then you can go ahead and stop if you want to.
Okay.
One case is when you look at John, and it's starting to deal with Peter as Peter denies Christ. You know, Satan tells him, "Say before the cock crow, you will deny me three times." Well, when you start looking at all the Gospels, it gives you a little bit of information at a time. And when you get to John, you realize that, okay, yeah, Peter's the one that cut off the guy's ear. It names the guy in John. Then it points out that John knew Caiaphas, I believe, the high priest. So that's how John got inside that place where Yehoshua was, so that Peter could come inside. He got Peter inside. And when he got Peter inside, the people who are saying, "Aren't you the one that was with him?" One of them was related to the guy that he cut the ear off on. But you don't see all that until you start looking at all the scriptures, and you realize, man, okay, now this is making sense. Now I understand why. How did Peter get in there in the first place? John knew the high priest. John was in there when they took the Savior in there. Peter wasn't the only one who followed Yahushua. John did too. John followed him in once John got inside, because he knew the high priest. Then John came out and got Peter. Peter came inside. As Peter's coming inside, the woman who was the caretaker of the door, she said, "Wasn't you with him?" She recognized Peter. "Wasn't you with him?" That's the first denial. "No, I wasn't with him."
Mm-hmm.
He's standing by the fire inside getting warm. They ask him by the fire. No, I don't know him. Then the guy comes up that's related to the guy he cut the ear off on and said, you war with them. Then I see you. Oh, he was there. Then I see you out there. No, I wasn't there. Cops up. But you don't see all those things until you get in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of them revealed to you just a little bit. As you study and see it on precept, you'd be like, man, look at all this stuff just come together once you get all of them in line. That's why we take our time and do it the way we do.
Right. That's all I have. All right, that's all I have too. I think, like you said, when you study, it helps you put all those things together so that you can, you know, you can see it. It's like what he said. What Pastor Taylor, when you read, he likes to see, right? Well, some stuff is hard. It's hard to see when you just read it.
Right.
So some stuff you have to write it down because you know some of the information is here, some of the information is there. So when you put it all together, you can see the big picture. It's just like a puzzle. You know, if it's a piece here. And if it's a piece there, yeah, they may all go to the same puzzle, but until you put them together, you can't see what the puzzle is saying, right? You just know this is a piece.
Right. And that's why we use so many PowerPoint type of presentations when we teach it, because you're visually seeing the scriptures, the comment, and you're seeing it being tied together instead of just hearing it. You're hearing it, but you're seeing it also. And so it gives a twofold perception with the ears. You're understanding with the ears, and you're understanding with your perception, your eyesight. So it brings like a twofold perception. So that's why the understanding is more clear. That's why we do that.
All right, y'all. That's all I have. I'm going to pray and I'm going to Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you again and just thank you for the understanding that you bring forth. We just thank you for showing us how to study and how to put all of the puzzle pieces together so that we can see the big picture and so that we can be the repairers of the breach, because the understanding is not out there. But you have called a ministry and you've set their course in order to get that understanding out. And y'all, we just thank you for continuing to reveal to us and give us understanding at each turn. We just ask that you bless us to be faithful stewards to get that message out to the people so that we can be your people and you can be our God. Amen.
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 Yeah, because it was, yeah. I was trying to figure it out, man.